This recording is being made by Patricia Robinson, committee member of Rowlands Castle Historical Society. The interviewee is Paul Marshman, a lifelong member of the village. The purpose of making this recording is for archiving the history of Rowlands Castle. The date of the recording is the 16th of February 2022, and the reference is 22/1. Welcome, Paul. Tell us about yourself.
Well, as said, I have lived in the area all my life. I always tell people I was born at Finchdene, which is not really true because I was born at Waterville Nursing Home. But for 2 years, 2.5 years, I lived at Finchdene in the wonderfully named Rats Castle, but that's been known about anyway, as on an earlier recording. We moved to Uplands Road in possibly late 49, early 50, to council houses. These council houses were built purposely to house families like mine, my mother and father, to rescue them, if you like, from the derelict old houses, barns, etc., out in the countryside. My earliest memories, I suppose, of Rowlands Castle were watching other houses in Uplands Road being built, because building sites are always fascinating to young children, and then starting school at the age of 5.
What year were you born?
47.
1947.
I was born in 1947, yes. And that's it, really. Yes, we moved to Uplands Road and just sort of played around. And then went to school at Red Hill. And my earliest memories of school days, I think, apart from trying to run away every day, were the Queen's coronation in 1953, which I remember that well. I remember the red, white and blue decorations everywhere, even indoors. I can remember Christmases, but all of a sudden there was red, white and blue decorations up indoors, just like Christmas decorations. They were all through the village, there was red, white and blue streamers everywhere. And on the day of the celebrations in the village, as in the coronation programme, we had parties and that, and queued up for the coronation mug. We had a coronation photograph at school, and my biggest memory really is there was a double-decker bus appeared on the recreation ground, which I've never seen that before. Double-decker bus driving around the recreation ground. What's all that about? But never did find out, but it was there. And yes, I do, I'm sure I told Sonia that, I do remember that a year later, 1954, I couldn't make out why we weren't celebrating again. Because we celebrated Christmas every year, and we celebrated my birthday every year. Why didn't we celebrate this red, white and blue every year? We never did. It took me a long time to get over that. In those days, we walked to school from along through the village up Red Hill. There was no pavements in those days, from what I can remember. One was built one side during my time at the school there. There was two huge lorries just to rattle through the village most days. One was a milk lorry with milk churns on it, called Millington's it was, I remember the name, and these milk churns just to rattle and jump around. And these lorries just to hurtle through the village. And the other one was the chalk lorries, which was a big white lorry, with a kind of a, similar to a, these concrete lorries these days, but they were angular. And they were spreading lime on the fields. But they came through the village very regularly as well. And of course the bus, the double-decker bus, which continued to Hornay. I remember that where my mother used to live, of course, at Finchdene and Rascals, they shopped at Horndean rather than Havant. And for years, we used to go to Horndean for our shopping, catch the bus to Horndean, stop along the route, and come home. Havant was a mysterious place miles and miles away. I can remember my granny taking me down to Portsmouth one day, and we even went then from Rowlands Castle to Horndean, caught a bus from Horndean all the way to Portsmouth and came home. None of this trains or none of that. But that was the day of school. There was football in the village. I can remember football matches at the recreation ground, two football pitches in those days, although the one at the top was built a little bit. And I can remember the cricket. I can remember there was a golf course, of course, but we never went there. But it was down the footpath across it.
And you told me that you used to play in the brickworks. Tell me something about that?
We used to play in the brickworks. Yeah, no, we were told from at Red Hill School, the primary school, don't go up the brickworks, go straight home. And of course we didn't. And we used to go, in summer, we used to go via the brickworks. And there used to be a nice pond up there in those days. Pond with a kind of a small jetty, and people used to fish from it and all that. Since then it's gone dry and it's only about 8 feet deep. But we were told it was so deep that you were going to drown in it. It was at least 800 foot deep. That was the rumour. we didn't know that. But the other thing was it's still there now, called the Swallow Hole. That is still there. On the way home from school, we used to go in there, especially when it rained, because we used to watch the rain coming down Castle Road, which those days was a ditch. It had been poked over Castle Road. And it was all deep and deep. And in the woods itself, by the Swallow Hole, there was no fence around it in those days. You just get in and watch the water swirl around and disappear underground and fall in and things like that. But yes, so we either went home via the brickworks or via the Swallow Hole. There were other ponds, which occasionally we used to visit. There was one sort of almost opposite the school. There was a pond. We always had a look in there, and there were sticklebacks and things like that. That was it really. Yeah, we walked down the village, walk home. Village shops, as I've said before, there was hundreds of village shops, so Mum used to send you down the village to get a shop, and in fact, a lady across the road used to go down the village and buy my cigarettes for me. 6-year-old boy, cigarettes for Mrs. Squires, and they knew you, see, everyone knew you, And one day, I was nearly run over. I was a bit late for school. I was running up this road. And I brushed off up this road, and this car hurled and missed me by inches. And the driver was so concerned, he stopped and come back to pick up the body. But now I was there, walking along, and he reported me to the school. And I was given, the first policeman comes to school to give me a lecture and all the children a lecture about highway code. And for weeks they tested you on your highway code, and also all the people in the village, all the old people in the village who knew Mum, used to stop me and say, "Paul, what's the highway code?" For about 6 months, yeah, because I was nearly run over. Very near. So there was a lot of concern those days. And as I told before, the headmistress and the vicar and the village policeman, they were respected. Village policeman said, "Do that, you've done it." Yeah, and headmistress or the vicar, you didn't misbehave in their presence. And there was a couple in Lynx Lane, more concerned, high and mighty and rich people in Lynx Lane. They got concerned in the village as well, and they used to get to know the village children, but a lot of them didn't, but some did, yeah. There was admirals out there, and admirals and a major up there. We'd done Bobby Jobs, so when we joined the Boy Scouts, we had to join the Horndean troop, but we'd done Bob a job in the village, and it was a huge class distinction those days. It really was, and when we filled in our Bob a job scheme at the end of the season, one but two weeks, and that bloke in charge of the Boy Scouts said, I see you've done a job for major, whatever his name was. He says, "I want you to go back and do another one, free." Yeah, We never did. But we were expecting it. And I can remember doors being opened in Lisa language. You dare, you knocked on the door, and a maid answered the door, dressed in black with a little hat on, you know, the little, what do you call it, little free
tiara. What house was that?
I can't remember which one it was.
No. In the village?
In Lynx Lane.
Lynx
Lane? Yeah, Lynx Lane was full of posh houses. They've even been filled in. In those days, there was not so many houses, and there were huge acres of gardens. Mine's a Bowes Hill too, and big houses. And they were, and so there's servants and full-time gardeners, and very few Rolls Royces. I think there was two out there. And two Mercedes, I think. Yeah, there was two Mercedes in the village. That was probably in the 60s, yeah. And because they were very rare in those days. There was
Mercedes cars.
Mercedes-Benz. Yeah. There was commoners in these days. Like, everyone's got one. But in those days, there was two. And they were very rare, yeah. Yeah, Mercedes, yeah. Yeah. Okay. But, I mean, yeah. But that was useful to say, I went to school at Warbington and senior school. I played truant there as well. I was pretty terrible child, really, as a schoolboy. But because I kept myself to myself, I think they just a bit tolerated me. Yeah, you're supposed to be reported if you were late more than once a week. And I used to be like four times a week every week. No problem. And they just away me. In fact, I used to go in the back way. The prefix didn't even know I was late most of the time. But there it is. Maybe it points to a wasted life, but who cares? I'm still here, 74 years old, and the 3-day week, I must admit, the 3-day week was very similar to the COVID. I just ignored it.
What year was that?
Well, according to, 1971. So I was pretty old by then, I was 24 by then, working. But no, I ignored the 3-day week. I went to work and worked in the dark, because I worked windows. And I said, no, I'll be in tomorrow. I'm doing my work. I'm doing a lot of it was paperwork, a lot of it.
So you worked the 5 days and not 3 days?
If I worked 3 days, I would work 12 hours for 3 hours. But everyone else just had 2 days off, didn't they? But no, I just go in whenever I could go in and just sort of carried on as normal. I was no electricity at home, because we had to live with that. But I didn't go much on the 3-day week at all. I must have been COVID. Obviously, I wear masks on the trains and that, and in the shops. But
by that time, you were living in Uplands.
Uplands Road. Oh, Uplands Road, yeah.
So you had electricity and water. And
well, not a 3-day week, of course, we didn't, no.
No, but I mean, you had that in the house. Yeah. You missed it when it was cut off.
Oh, yes. I remember. I know it wasn't only me. When we moved into Uplands Road with a bathroom, which we never had before, we still bathed in the tin bath in front of the range. Yeah, we just weren't used to bath. What's that? Bath in the kitchen in the tin bath.
What year did you move into Uplands Road?
Well, I said that early. I think it was more late 49 rather than early 50. 49. But that's when it was a bit then, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, we weren't really used to sort of them. That sort of thing.
Luxury.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again in those days, in the 50s, up until about 1959, I suppose, the front door was for relations. Uh-huh. The front door in those days. If you want to go in, you went to the back door. Just went to the back door and knocked. Uh-huh. And everyone down the side, they just ran the back door and knocked. The front door was for relations, and aunties and uncles. They come in for the front
visitors.
Door. Well, not just special visitors, not everyday visitors. And we came home one day from the Isle of Wight, where Mum had lots of sisters in the Isle of Wight, and we used to go to the Isle of Wight two times a year for weddings and things like that. Always in the Isle of Wight. And we came in, there's a policeman there. Oh, you've been burgled. And this young kid is burgled all half the aces in Uplands Road. Didn't get much. He got a bit half a crane here and two shillings there. He stole my binoculars, which was running sort of you know, sort of plastic ones anyway. Yeah. But from that day on, we locked our doors. I mean, it was wonderful. I mean, you used to come home, it was raining, and your neighbour had taken your washing in for you and put it in your house. Not easy. They're taking your washing and put it on your kitchen table for you, all folded up because it was raining. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm afraid that very disappeared,
different.
Like I say.
Very
that
different.
Day, it must have been about 1960 or something, 59, 16. Mm. Things just changed sort of that day, So, everyone knew everyone. There was enough boys my age in Uplands Road to play football, you know, that means there was 11 or 12 boys my age. Mm-hmm. There was enough to form a football team and a cricket team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we only played on the Granger. Oh, well, the Great Storm. Well, the sad thing about the Great Storm is that I had that Friday off work, planned holiday, one day on. So I can remember getting up during the night because the next door's dustbin had blown over and it was rolling up and down the path and it was keeping me awake. So I got up and this is a little bit windy, but so I put this dustbin somewhere safe where it wouldn't blow over anymore. And I thought, well, what's that? It's not rain. I don't know what it was. It was sand, of course. The sand, it was used metal sand blowing around. And as I got the door, so I could see all these lightning flashes in the distance. But it wasn't lightning flashes, it was the electric pylons, electricity pylons, eventually touching and shorting out. Yeah. But anyway, I took no more about it, and just I was staying in bed and saying, because I had no point getting up for work, you know. And so I got up, I've been quite late, about 7:30, getting off at 8:00, and Mum was around, there's no electricity. Oh, so I thought, well, looked around, well, no one's got any electricity. Don't know what to do, you know. So I thought, we must have had a battery radio as well, which I must have rescued from somewhere, and put this battery radio on and just sort of, so what is going on, you know? And, oh, there's been this great hurricane, this great storm. So I walked into the village where it was absolute chaos, but there were all people sort of doing things. You've seen the photographs, you know. So I went back home and got my camera and rode around and took photographs, visited a few people I knew who might be a bit vulnerable, but they were all right. And then the next day I just rode around a bit more. We obviously had food at home and I mean, what food was in the village shop.
And you took all these photographs?
Yeah, I took the photographs of the great hurricane, yeah. Yeah. But if I'd have got up at a normal time, I would have taken a few more. But it couldn't be helped, yeah. So I missed a few of the really trees right across the road and it was cleared by them.
Did it get cleared up fairly quickly?
As I said in my history song, Durrance Bend was still shut, that's the road on the Tuesday. They didn't change that, that was from the Friday, that was Saturday. Only 3 days that was shut, yeah. Yeah. They found a way down Wishes Gate Road. They had to go through the garage car park to get to that one. Woodby Lane, I think, it must have been shut for a couple of days because lots of trees down in Woodby Lane, quite small ones. Stansted, it was just complete piles and piles of rubbish.
And you didn't go to work because you were on holiday?
Yeah, just that one day. I must have gone back to work. I must have got into work Monday somehow, or I must have got to work. I think they cleared the trains pretty quickly, the rail pretty quickly. Yeah. There was lots of damage at work, but that's to do with the village. But at work there was a huge, tall glass tower. It was sheets of glass, and all that had come down. Huge sheets of glass just come down like that and blown out. Next door's shed roof was come away. But mine stayed on. It did move. It moved 2 inches across my shed roof, and I just sort of bashed it back with a spider. and it's still there now. So,
No damage to the house.
No, but there were a few. An awful lot of dish tiles came away from people's houses, and little quarter tiles and things like that. Most houses not most, but a lot of houses suffered a little bit of damage like that. There's a few sheds blown over, there's a few sheds blown flat, and that, and I think because it came from the south, it had kind of a suction effect, and so so my garage was, my shed was locked, but people just weren't locked. It just sort of sucked everything out. I remember the noise and the wind and the flashes and that, and this stuff bashing, which was sound. Yeah.
Did it affect what you could? Your mother could cook or whatever. She couldn't go shopping.
Well, I don't think we had any gas. I can't remember what we'd done, but yeah, she would have sent me down to the village. I must have gone down to the village and got anything I could lay my hands on, but everyone else was doing the same sort of thing, a loaf of bread and some milk and stuff like that, you know what I mean? I suppose we still had gas, I can't remember. Yeah, because gas was underground, so yeah, we probably still had gas, so we could cook, yeah. Make a cup of tea and
heat,
things like that.
Heat water.
Yeah, heat water. Mm. Have a wash, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a fun. Yeah. And of course, stay for ages. The wall around Winnicus, I think that took a year and a half to rebuild. You know, we were in deep upon the green. That wall was not flat.
Mm-hmm.
And it must have taken a year and a half for that to rebuild. Yeah. I can't remember.
Things?
Silver Jubilee. Well, yeah, the Silver Jubilee was that was well celebrated. Yeah, went a bit further abroad on Silver Jubilee, but yeah, because I remember I went to Portsmouth at some time and there was decorations everywhere in Portsmouth. It looked really smart, you know, but yeah, there was silver decorations everywhere and lots of the celebrations lasted over about 4 days, you know. The street parties for the Silver Jubilee, Silver Jubilee. I can remember that. I can remember watching that on the TV. Yeah, but that was about all.
What was that?
The Jubilee. That's all.
No,
Prince Charles and Lady Diana.
Wedding.
I think there must have been street parties. Yes, but I didn't go to one. But I can remember my mother did. My mother. There was one in Uppsala Road. There was one in Uppsala Road. Yeah, but I was cutting grass at the recreation ground, to prepare a cricket wicket. So the and when I got home, they were sort of packing it away. Silver Jubilee, because I remember that one. You got still, yeah.
Do you remember this?
Yes, I can remember that. I can remember being at work.
Princess Diana's death.
I can remember because I was at work then, but in those days there was a taped radio, one or two off, on the tannoy, all day long. Pop music just driving me mad. Yeah, but that day I can remember they interrupted and said they went through it bit by bit saying that she's had this accident, and she rushed to hospital. We don't know who she is and all that. And then they. By about 11 o'clock, I think, they announced the death and they played funeral music for about half an hour. Then I went back to pop music, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and I can remember the day of the funeral was a Saturday and I was duty storm on that day. And I can remember coming home and the streets were deserted. The roads were just deserted. It was just me and my bike. It was one or two cars, but it was huge, you know, compared to normal. Everybody was indoors watching it on the telly. Mm-hmm. And I got home and turned the telly on and I watched it as well. And mm-hmm. Everybody was watching that, yeah. Well, that's my impression.
Was your mother upset about it?
I can't remember.
Did you have a television?
Yeah, I was watching it. But I can't remember getting terribly upset about it. Lots of people were upset. Yeah, there were sorts of... Yeah, and for years and years after, there was quite a lot of them. Yeah. Yeah. There were people who had to be careful what they said for a while. If they weren't sad, because there was an awful lot of Princess Diana support.
I think
people have been quite willing to have, you know, sort of come up with a bit of trouble if they could find someone who didn't think she was good. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Things have changed maybe over the years, but yeah, for those few weeks afterwards, yeah.
So how did people respond to Prince Charles?
I think yes. I don't know. They just sit there. Yeah. Mm. There's always been support for the Queen. I remember Princess Margaret got married somewhere and she came back to Portsmouth on the Britannia and she caught the train to Waterloo. And I remember standing in a field with 15, 20 other people, at least, and other, just waiting to, for the Royal train to go past to see Princess Margaret. See. We would do it nowadays, but in those days, yeah.
Did you all wave?
Well, we waved, yeah, whether we ever saw or not, we don't know. It was a big train, it was ten coaches long. Mm-hmm. But that's how things have changed over the years, haven't they? Yeah. I mean, she's changed over there. Royalty now is not so. Yeah, we'll celebrate the Queen's because she's the Queen, but anyway,
Any other celebrations, national celebrations that the village honoured and.
Because of our contact with them, the D Day, of course, you know, the Keenstone, we celebrated the 40th and the 50th anniversary of. D-Day in the village, quite big events, you know, uh-huh. So march past and bands and tea in the parish hall and photographs and all sorts of things. Yeah, church parades and more bunting and things and so we certainly celebrate those two anniversaries. Yeah, of D-Day.
That was because the village was so involved. Yes, with D-Day.
We celebrate those well. Well, of course, the Tour de France going through the village that day. That was a massive big day. That was, yeah.
Yes. When do you remember what year that was?
1994. Yeah, June or July. July, I think. Yeah.
And they passed through.
They came through the village, yeah, and we knew about it for years. About a year in front, and they slowly prepared it, and they put signs up. And they were slowly doing things through the, and sort of with a couple of days ago, all these proper signs come up and road diversions and things like that. And of course, being the Green, of course, it was an ideal place. And there was just a massive, huge crowd on the Green, and all the way from inside the castle in and up to the Stoughton Arms. There was people who erected stands in their garden so they could watch it go by. And,
really?
Yeah, and there was. Yeah.
Was that popular?
It was a massive event for the village, yeah. Well, I think for the country, I think. Yeah, I think if you watched it in the country, you'll see there was craze everywhere. But, yeah, if it came from those cars, and there was
massive craze. They only come the once?
Yes. They've been, I think they've been to Yorkshire since, the Tour de France. But this is they made this big, it didn't come just through the village, it came from Harting and South Peace Farm. Up north, and they had this sort of a whole day or maybe 2 days trek through England, and they came through our village, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a wonderful day, yeah. Everyone was full of this, that, and the other, and happy, and sort of, yeah, waving flags and taking photographs, and yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fine day, yeah.
Did the village celebrate the Queen's 90th birthday or Diamond Jubilee or anything like that?
I can't remember that. There were some celebrations in 2002, that was a 70th, wasn't it? It was 2002. No, 2002 was the 50th, wasn't it? Yeah, 2002 was the 50th. Yeah, but it was a bit lower key. It wasn't nothing like the 1977 one or even the 1952 one. It was a bit lower key, and And we celebrate a couple of other things in the village. 2012, yeah, we must have celebrated the 2012 one a little bit as well. There was things on the green and, yeah. I thought there's photographs all around the place. Yes.
And then how has the pandemic, the COVID, affected the village?
Oh, I knew the very early days. I can remember that the London store took it very seriously, and they would only let three people in at a time, and there was a man on the gate, and you should queue up like that, well, as far as the hardware store, you know, 10 or 12 people, so just, you know, 6 foot apart, you know, waiting your turn to go into the London store and be served, and that's similar to the hardware store, yeah. And of course, in the supermarkets we have, it was the same as the shoe stores, but just that was that just that first 6 months, I suppose, in 2019, yeah. I was never very keen on it, but you just have to muck through them and do it, yeah. People still, yeah, the pubs were shut, of course. The pubs were shut for that, lots and lots of times, yeah. They still delivered food to one of the pubs, I think.
And the cafe in the village?
That would have been shut, yeah. Yeah, everything like that was shut, really. And all the societies, I think, finished, you know, Art Society, History Society, they didn't meet for a year and a half, Yes, I think the cricket even, don't think many people played cricket or anything like that. It was all taken very seriously. Yeah. Yes, I still, yes, I say I rode my bike around and things like that, but I didn't meet very few people, yeah.
Did you know of many people in the village who'd got COVID?
No. I know a couple of people who said, why, for a couple of days sort of thing. You heard about that, but yeah, I don't know anyone who's...
No.
Who's had it? No.
That's interesting.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yes. Yes. Things might come back sort of all of a sudden, isn't it? Yeah. Yes, I can remember. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a big. I mean, there was obviously a big.
Yeah.
They celebrated the churches. 150th anniversary, that would have been 1987.
Yeah.
There was some celebrations out there, some parties and a big exhibition. And we've had quite a few exhibitions in the church, in the parish hall, and of the village's history. There's one in, good grief, 74, I think. I think there was one in 52. But I mean, there was one in 74, and another one in 94, I think.
What did they do?
Oh, just sort of photographs and artifacts and... Or the village, you know, just happened for a couple of days, and like I said, 94 one was the big anniversary of the D-Day, when there's vehicles on the green and tents and bands and sort of, yeah.
The village have a lot of joint things. Do you remember how long ago they started the Guy Fawkes fireworks? Were you a child then? Or?
When I was a kid, we used to have our own bonfire on the green up the road. Yeah, yeah, and because I said there was enough kids to make a football team, there was 11, 12 kids, boys, you know, from say 7 to 12, sort of thing, or even a bit older. Yeah. And we used to go foraging up in the woods for weeks beforehand and go to the garage and get old tyres and wheel them up the road. And we used to make a huge bonfire, and we all had our own fireworks, and just on the 5th, we just to light it, and every little boy had his. There's a few fireworks and so, and we're letting off, and parents bought for us, and the parents were there as well. Yeah. And as far as I know, they've done a similar thing, King's Close, but I never went to that one. Of course, we always went to our own one and Uplands Road, yeah.
But then they
went for years and years, but it just appeared, right? I mean, kids pointed out for quite a long time, Uplands Road, there was hardly any children at all. Uh-huh. You know, so they're not sort of school age kids, you know, but. There's not too many now, I think.
Do you remember when it started to become more official in the recreation ground?
I can't remember the exact date now, but it's there. So, well, the RCA went from to 72, so it must have been 73 or 74. Yeah.
Used to go to that?
Oh, yeah. And again, that was self-built. And that was, I had to build that. We sort of build that ourselves and sort of spray petrol. Very, very amateur. And by the forest... themselves and let them off. So there's none of this security, no fencing.
No.
I mean, okay, I don't remember Manchester's neighbour. He skyrockets, you know, and he was 3 foot away. And went straight up in the air, of course, and comes straight back down again and landed next to you almost. He's going to be stick with a big
burn
and bit thing. Yeah, no one ever got injured, I think. Yeah,
no health and safety.
No health and safety. Well, not for years and years and years. We should go there the next day and people should go there the next day and volunteer to pick up all the sparklers because, of course, there's a football match on the next day. It was football. It was, in fact, for years and years, I built it. I don't want to say I'm too big-headed, but 1 year I virtually built the whole thing myself. I built it for bits of people just dump rubbish up there, and I had to build it myself and put tires on and cut down trees and build it. And on the golf course day itself, I used to go back at midnight and rake all the ashes up into a big heap so it didn't spread.
It was on the grass, was it?
It was on the grass, yeah.
On the pitch?
Yeah. Well, on the pitch, no, there was a bit of rough grain to one side, but it was a danger of it spreading a bit more. Anyway, by doing that, it helped it to burn. Otherwise, you'd have a pile of unburnt bits and rubbish, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it just stayed there for ages, the bonfire, so before we moved it away and took it away and tidied it up again. Yeah.
How would you say the village has changed over all those years? What are the big things that have changed?
Well, there are less shops, I suppose. There used to be hundreds and hundreds of 26 shops in the 50s. 26 shops in the village, yeah. And the funny thing, going again, is that you were loyal. You used that one and that one, not those. And your neighbour used that one up the road a bit further and the other one, but they never went in the one you went in. No, I say never, but yeah, virtually never, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you were very loyal. You just used your shop and that one there. And the other ones, there were shops in the village I never went into. I mean, I knew there were shops, but never went into them. Yeah. Of course, these are just little groceries, and they're obviously they're the barbers and that are on there, and an outfitter's shop, and a radio spares, kind of electrical shop, and the garages, of course, sold stuff as well. Bits and pieces for your bike and things like that.
So could you get everything that you wanted without going out of the village?
Yes, because there's a shoe shop in the village as well. Well, the outfitters was basically ladies. I dare say you could have gone in and ordered a pair of trousers, but I don't, you know, it was a ladies' outfitters. I can't remember a men's outfitters in the village, but they can't have it, was full of it. Haven't possibly, it was full of men's outfitters. So you don't have to go as far as heaven for, yeah. But now they've all gone as well. So there's a more regular bus service, more regular train services. Not so many pavements, so the roads are a little bit narrower, and speedier.
And you're something of a historian yourself. You've been writing a history of the village
in little. Article and individual little pamphlets, yeah. Yes, I've done 5 or 6 over the years. Yeah, I've got one plan now, which will hopefully be out this year.
Which would be about what?
Just 70 years of village. How the village has changed in 70 years. But without any mention of the new developments, because they're there for you to see. I'm just talking about the little 70 years of, which is what we're trying to talk about now, yeah. Of village life, yeah, there's more bus services and cricket and football, which is still played there, but not there's no senior men's football in the village anymore, I don't think. There is a cricket team, but it's nothing to do with the village. The tennis club, of course, has started and grown from strength to strength. And there are clubs in the village which they've come and gone, and some are still here, and the meeting rooms in the village. I mean, it used to be there was a meeting room in the chapel, but it was smaller at the back. The castle was the parish hall was always there, of course. There was always a small church hall, and there was a meeting room in the Stoughton Arms, and there was one in the castle upstairs, secret meeting room in the castle, And as far as I know, there was one Stone Arms.
The castle pub, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, there was a Forester's meeting room up there. And there was a door with a...
Spy hole,
yeah. Knock on the door. Yes, password. Okay, come in. No password, go away. It was used for other things as well.
They don't meet there anymore.
The Foresters met in the car in the village from 1960 to 1980, I think. Yeah, but then they moved away. They got bigger and bigger. And of course, then they changed the castle around. The meeting room was no longer there in the castle. And there was dance floors up above in the Robin Hood and the Fountain, but not used very often. They came back for a few years every now and then, and they stopped again. But even in the 70 years we're talking about, I can't remember much about the parish hall. There was always dancers at the parish hall. People who come from Marlborough and from Emsworth and Wandeen just bus them in to go to dances in the parish hall.
Saturday night or something?
I think it must have been Saturday night. Yeah, the parish hall, the parish court committee have always, in those days, were very... very upright, and no entertainment on Sunday. Oh no entertainment on Sunday, just on Saturday. Although the cricket team used to have their teas in the parish hall before the new pavilion was built, because there was old pavilion didn't have room for teas, it's just a changing room. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, if we go down there, march down to the parish hall and have tea in the parish hall and go back.
And all this history that you've written about, I understand you don't have a computer.
No.
So how do you record everything?
Well, I've got boxing, 40 box files of information. Mm-hmm. 40 box files.
Or handwritten or typed?
A lot of it is it other people's work, which I've got typed, you know, because most of it dates back to the 50s or before, even before the war. I've got typewritten articles, and you get them from magazines, which I've photocopied magazine articles and newspaper articles, of course, cut them, paste them up, and then it's just a matter of putting them all together, yeah. But anything modern, well, it's like a seat in the paper, anything that's not handwritten or put on paper, I'll rely on people to make me copies of them, give it to me, so I'll just fold it under hundreds of headings, and we can never find anything. It takes ages to find it. Oh no, I've got it here somewhere. Lots and lots of little snippets of information, but they're historical information, you know, going back to 1850s and things like that.
You've enjoyed doing that.
Oh, crumbs, yeah, I love it. I love collecting it all together. But like I say, I am very conscious of the fact that I'm being left behind by all these people who can find something in 30 seconds on a computer, where it takes me 3 hours to come out. Yeah. But a lot of my information isn't on computer because I've not handed it over. No. And I'm not going to. That's mine and it's secret. If you want to know, I'll find it. I'll just write. Right, a little bit about it, yes.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yes.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah. And that's better. So you look back, you think, well, it was better then, but maybe it wasn't. You know what I mean? I mean, the doctors used to come and visit you at home, and if Mum was ill, I had to go there and knock on his door and say, "Mum's ill, okay." and it'd be rain that evening, and all right, that day to see Mum. Otherwise, you'd go there. You just go there and sit in the waiting room. Next, please, and you knew who was next because that's me. I have doctors. Oh yeah, okay, fair enough decision. I've had stitches put in my head in the doctor's surgery in the village. Fell around, banged my head or something, split my head open. Lucky enough, the man who's the father of the boy who done it, so to speak, it's an accident. So how come they rush me around quick at the doctor's surgery? I'm the doctor and stitched me up and went back a week later. That was all right.
Do you attribute the big changes in the village to the number of people who now live in it?
Well, I suppose, you'd like to think if there was more people that all the shops would still be open, but I think village shops are finished everywhere, haven't they? Yes. And don't forget, we've still got 4 village pubs. Village pubs are shutting everywhere. Mm. Town pubs are shutting everywhere. We've still got ours, are still all open. Unbelievable. Mm. Unbelievable. Our pubs are still going. And there's no darts playing anymore, but every pub had 2 darts teams in those days, and the ladies' darts teams, and that was very popular. I remember once, as a piece of pure one-upmanship, the railway, which is the Robin Hood, of course, we all call it the railway, everyone calls it the railway, who's lived here more than 40 years, it's the railway, but it's the Robin Hood, played the Fainting, and we were in the same league. And so the Robin Hood had an away match at the Fainting. So we hired a minibus. We hired a minibus, he arrived, we piled his minibus, where to? The Fainting Inn. He drove us round the green to the Fainting. We got it again. Here we are, we've arrived. Just as one-upmanship. To say the Fainting Inn, that's what we can do. No walking up to you, we hired a minibus to go from the Robin Hood to the Fainting to play darts.
So the changing of the name of the pub from the Fountain to the Robin Hood.
The railway. Railway to
was
the Robin
Hood.
Was that... No, it was the railway that changed to the Robin Hood. Oh. The Fountain has always been called the Fountain.
Which is the Fountain? Oh, the Fountain is still, the white one still with, called with the Fountain. Way in it. Yes, next to it.
We had a new landlord, and he liked the name. He came from Nottingham, and he liked the name Robin Hood, and he changed the name to Robin Hood, but he couldn't do it because there was another Robin Hood within, whatever it is, 3 miles or something. Apparently you can't have a pub with the same name within a certain distance. But the pub at Forest Side shut, that was called the Robin Hood, and he could then call his pub the Robin Hood, which he did, it stayed Robin Hood, yeah. But we would say, us villagers, always call it the railway.
you call it the railway.
Still call it. I mean, if we're caught off balance, at the railway. We're at the railway.
That's interesting.
Yes.
That's good. Good.
Yes, I can.
The village characters that you can remember.
Well, there is. Yeah. There was a gypsy who lived in the village, who had quite a lot written about him. Quite. He's been well researched, called Jimmy James. I've got his obituary in the somewhere at home. And he lives in a caravan. There's one of the little green caravans on wooden wheels, about the size of a small kitchen. I mean, no bigger size of a transit van, in Wellswith Dell. That's at the back of Upinch Road. There's a dell there. So it was completely overgrown now, but in those days it wasn't. In those days, the bars were still in use in there, and they led him to sit in the corner of his little green caravan.
So that the landowner allowed him to have his caravan.
Yes. And that was it. He used to walk through the village and walk back. And we were playing on our village green up his road one day, and he came past. He said, "Here are our boys," he said, and gave us a football. A real football. You can't fight for Mr. James.
What did you call him?
Jimmy James.
Jimmy James.
Yes. And when he died, I got a name, haven't they? The serious ones. I got a name. Not the Vagabond Society, but something like that. The Gypsy, the
Tree. Early Kings and Queens. It used to be.
No, it wasn't them. But they came and gave him a funeral and burnt him. I think they burnt him. But they burnt his caravan anyway. Ritually burnt the caravan, Quite when he died,
It's a tradition.
Yeah, the tradition. I can't forget the name of him, but I'll find it. They came and... He was one of them. Of course, we were told, don't go anywhere near him. But of course, we did as all kids. He used to sort of, if you fell over, he used to pick you up if he was... Next one down the road, there's other characters. There's another character who's in a caravan in Castle Road. Neil Desperandum, he called his caravan. And he was a bit of a character as well. He didn't sort of give a toss for anyone, and he just sort of on his own business and got on. And so there's a lot, I ain't got a cold, but yeah.
Was his caravan on common land, or did he own land?
It's just a bit of scrub land that didn't belong to anybody along Castle Road there. It's got places. It's roughly where that Keynes close to that little commune of bungalows, old folks' bungalows. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. In fact, in the same field, just a little bit further up, there used to be a fair. A proper good old-fashioned fair with swings and roundabouts and coconut shies and.
A permanent fair?
No. Travelling? I can only vaguely remember it coming twice, but it probably came a few more times than that, yeah. It's a very small, very enclosed space, but now there's a full pair of, you know, just swings you pull yourself and kind of, as I say, a rain of dodging cars. Yeah. Yeah, that was held in there every year. That must be in the 50s as well, I imagine. Maybe the late 50s,
Did they have to get permission to do that?
It's just... probably just didn't belong to anyone. Yeah, they just come along and used it. Just sort of, yeah. Land didn't belong to people in those days. I mean, the smart asses. There was the two houses at the bottom of Castle Road. If you go bottom of Castle Road, and when you get to Red Hill Road, to the left, there's two new houses. Well, the man in the house immediately in front of you fenced that land off. As you're related to, aren't you? Fenced off, put a notice on saying, I claim this land. And after, 5 years, it's his. We then sold it to the developer and they built two bases on it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. Nobody challenged it?
Well, no, because people probably didn't know. Yeah, probably didn't really understand what's going on. But yeah. A few other people in the village have done that. If you look around, you'll find there's a few footpaths of being sort of very much narrower what there were in my days. These footpaths, because they've moved their fence up 6 foot or something, uh-huh. And claimed it, yeah. Uh-huh. It's all a shame, really, but there it is, yeah.
Any other characters you can think of?
What do you mean, aliens and him, and, No. Dimmock White, who lived at Eastleigh House, he used to drive his coach and forth through the village every now and then. They'd push, real... stagecoach with horses and
of his own,
It was his,
And what was his name?
Dimmock White, that was a family
Dimmock
name. White. Dimmock White, that was a family name, Dimmock yeah. Because I think they've all gone now. He lived at Eastleigh House, Woodlands.
Woodlands,
that was the name of his house. Yeah, Eastleigh House was a bit further along, yeah. We always call it Eastleigh, but it wasn't, it was Woodlands, yeah.
Woodlands, yeah. Eastleigh House, which road was that?
That's on the crossroads on the way to Emsworth from Durrance. From which escape road. Uh-huh. You come to the Stagger Crossroads. Yes. In those days, it was a serious crossroads. The gatehouse is still there with boarded up. Uh-huh. And behind it was the house, which then became the property of Wesley. Not Wesley, Plessy's. Plessy's, one of Plessy's secret establishments. Well, no, it was secret, you knew it was there. But what went on in there was secret.
secret from the war,
or just places. Places are government electronic contractors, aren't they?
Are they?
Well, they were in those days, yeah. Uh-huh. I thought using it.
Is it still there?
Time. I think it is. Just kind of. I think the house is still there. I don't think it's been knocked down. You can't really see it from the road. As I say, the gatehouse has all been boarded up and for years and years. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. But he used to drive through the village. But again, he wasn't a village character. I don't think he ever stopped and done something. Anything. Although. Apparently, there's stories of village boys, probably just before the war, who failed to salute him as it went by, and they were reported to the headmaster and headmistress for not saluting
him. Who was that?
The same man, Dimmock White, yeah.
Dimmock White.
Probably the same probably applied to him, Staunton as well, at Lee Park, you know, because kids used to trespass on his land, and they should report him if they didn't salute him. They were a reporter for. Yeah. I mean, I can remember doing that to Lord Besborough, because he'd have his private drive through the village to his house in his Rolls Royce, where it was playing in Stanston Forest. And everyone went by, we thought it was the law that you had to, thank you, sir, touch your forelock and say, bear to Lord Besborough, yeah, you were doing it, you throw something at him.
How old would you have been then?
Six, seven, eight.
So in the 50s. You were touching your forelock.
Well, sort of, yeah, yeah. We're wearing 5 years
old. Acknowledging the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. There was yeah, different levels of respect in those days, yeah.
There are quite a lot of societies in the village. Were there when you were younger, or was the village not that big in that those days?
It was nowhere near as big, really, because all this info. But there's the sizeable, yeah, the Women's Fellowship, Mother's Union.
Yes, well, they've had their 75th.
That's right, they have. Yeah, yes, that's right, yeah. The Mother's Union, I think, better. There was a woman's branch of the British Legion. Uh-huh. Yeah, the men's branch, I think, folded years ago. But there was a woman's branch up to about 1975, I think,
really?
Of the British Legion. Yeah, they used to meet in the village and do good deeds, and they had their little badge, yeah. There was various youth clubs in the village parish hall over the years. They came and went, you know. But there was youth clubs, and so the dances for youth, but the dances for the older people as well.
What we used to call the WRVS, but it's now just called the Volunteer Service, they still provide a cooked meal for the elderly members of the village.
That's right.
Every week.
Oh, yeah. Is that not called the Luncheon Club now?
Yes, it's called the Luncheon Club.
Luncheon Club. Oh, yeah. But there's references to them doing good deeds back in Stoke. Yeah. Oh, it's various things I've met in the village over the years. There's been a mission society met for some time in the parish. A mission society, you know.
Mission.
The ones who've done good deeds and sent money abroad and things like that. Mm-hmm. A mission society.
It was associated with the church, was it?
It was associated with the chapel.
Chapel?
Yeah. That's the other thing about the is that you're either chapel or church.
Uh-huh.
And I can remember once, because my friend across the road, it was chapel. And I thought, I can't be bothered to walk out of the church. So I went to the chapel with him. And the news got back to Mum, I want a church. Boy, I want you a church. Don't you ever do that again. We used to go to church every Sunday morning, boys, the village boys. Yeah, but that, looking back on it, this is when we were 14, 15 years old. That's only because the girls were there. Go to church and see the girls, the village girls were there as well. Yeah. But yeah. But that was a really good thing, yeah.
Has it been a good place to live, Rowlands Castle?
Oh, crumbs, yeah. Oh, that village green, yeah. There's not many better places than the village green, is there? Just to walk past and look at and they say within 5 minutes beyond me, you're up in the depths of the country, Stansted or Isworth. Yeah, within 5 minutes you're in the depths of the country, bird song, everything like that. Yeah.
Well, you look healthy.
Lots more caves. There's lots more, yeah.
You look healthy from it.
Yeah.
You've had 75 years.
Lots more dairy farms those days. Almost all dairy farms. Like I said, there's milk lorries to go through the village. There is to clip milk. Until very recently, you could still see it's called a platform. A little platform, only about 6 foot by 4 foot, where the milk churns used to be put on. So the lorry was the same height. So the lorry driver had to double load, which is just rolling from these platforms onto the back of his lorry. And they were up and down dotted all around the village roads, yeah. Well, not in the village, but in the roads just outside the village, yeah, because they're all dairy farms.
Any left?
There's none left, but you can still see, if you knew where to look, you can still see the marks on the wall where they were, yeah. Yeah, but they were only made of wood. Yeah, there was one at the bottom of Isworth Church. You know,
bottom of
where it was Isworth Church. It's the footpath. It's the road. Yeah, Isworth Church. There was one there, and there's one at Woods Ashes Farm. There was one there, and there's one on the road to Woodbury Lane.
Woodbury Lane.
Yeah. Because after that, of course, you got the lorries, which the milk lorries, which they pumped direct into, so that used to go down, right to the farms themselves, and you know, allowed us to sort of just pump us straight into the back of these big lorries, and these big milk lorries, yeah, which are the tanker lorries, yeah. You don't see those anymore, really.
It's lovely, no, you don't hear anything about them, do you?
As you say, it's obviously Saturday morning for young kids in Upmanish Road was a treat to go and watch the shunting near the goods yard. You know, there should be two lots of shunting engines to come in and trying to coach us around, shunt them down that way and shunt them back this way. And then,
this is in Roland's Castle?
Yeah, Roland's Castle Goods Yard, yeah. And we just sat on the embankment and watched that. In those days, in fact, you could go down that little road which goes to the skate hut, and there was a footpath across the top of the bank and a wooden stairs down into, well, to the station, virtually. Yeah, and it used to be sort of, if you knew it, it was a good shortcut to the station. It wasn't much of a shortcut, really. But some people used to use it as a shortcut to the station. The footpath was just a bit wide enough to walk along, and those wooden steps were there for years. Yeah, but that's all gone.
Okay.
It's a shame, but we used to play there. We used to play everywhere. There used to be an orchard there, the bottom of those there with apples in. We used to go there and get our apples and...
Those were the days when children didn't stay indoors. They were out all the time.
Yeah. You played till it got dark, yeah. Yeah. Until mum come, come in. Oh, no. In fact, if in Upland's Road...
I remember.
If in Upland's Road, it's all to do with electricity, but the light in Upland's Road was bright enough to play cricket against. Not until midnight, but until sort of... R5 or something like that. Yeah, and we used to use that lamppost as the wicket. It marked, you know, with a big white line on it. And we used to hit the ball down. And there was only, two cars there. No problem.
No problem to play in the streets, was it?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Paul. Okay, then. It's been very interesting. Yeah. And I'm sure we could do some more because you... Once you start remembering things,
yes,
you remember more and more. Yeah. But thank you very much indeed. Yeah.